this is Council Lady Erica Gilmore, and when I want to know what the 411 is, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
For a long time now. That's for real. Let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people. As always, we are totally delighted, and as every day, every Wednesday, and every day, we get an opportunity to have time with the audience. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I hope your Wednesday is going smooth as it can be. You know, sometimes it's bumpy, sometimes it's rainy, but today it's all good. It's a little, still a little brisk out there. You know, you look out the window and you have the expectation, but it's nice though.
Better than it could be.
That's true.
We dodged a pretty mild winter.
No, we didn't dodge it. We got it. We didn't dodge it. It came. We loving it. And glad of it. Anyway, on the show today, lots of, you know how we roll, this Wednesday afternoon edition, you know, this and that and the other, and our community news segment, and the 4 o'clock book is America's Unholy Ghost. Well, I'm going to have a lot to say today. I wonder why. The Racist Roots of Faith and Politics, that's this hour's book, by Joel Goza, preacher, activist, and writer. And then next hour, the book is, this will be an empowerment type discussion, Soul, S-O-U-L, Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. My Lord, the awakening. So that good girl has been asleep and she woke up. And Jane Weicker will be with us during that the next hour. And this is her memoir, Showing the Way to Happiness Comes from Within Instead of Looking to Others to Supply It. And you all know that you know that you know that that is a true statement. So we're looking forward to speaking with Jane in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, just quickly before we take the train and move it down the track, X, we have to thank our sponsors, of course. Let me do it now so I won't forget. Terry W. Jones, independent agent. Yep. State Farm Insurance, Integrity Dental Care.
That's right.
And SAG Funeral Home. So we want to thank you early and appreciate you for supporting the show. Now, we have our news straight and directly from the community, which is actually in studio with us today. That's like a bonus. Sarah, what is your last name? You know I know it, but, you know, today's I'm cuckoo today.
Yeah, my name is Sarah Imran, and I'm with the Metro.
You're new.
I am. Well, a little over a year, but...
Okay, well, I guess I'm late, delayed on knowing folks. A year?
Yes, a little over.
I met you at the last... training, the mobile diversity training.
Yes.
Was that your first one?
No, that was my third one, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
You've been in the room all the time, love you. Lord, I need to slow down. Well, you were actually working behind the scenes. That's probably why
I
missed you.
Right.
You know, I was making the room, making sure everybody was, everything was all good. What do you do there?
I'm the director of policy and research.
Really?
Yes.
So I imagine you are the person that helps them with the release of documents and...
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So a lot of systemic level injustices that are happening around the city, researching those and creating materials for public education, doing community outreach, going to various neighborhood associations, community organizations, and teaching them about the research that we're producing.
Now, is this your first major event that you're working on, you're going to talk about today?
Yes, Yes.
Okay.
This is a big one. Yeah.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what it's called. I like the big ones. What is it?
So it's called Nashville Rising, Work, Wages, and the Future of Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the work that we've been doing for the past couple of years has been around the affordable housing crisis in Nashville. So there's been this economic boom that's been taking place, but not everybody is benefiting from this boom.
Mm-hmm.
And one side of that is that traditionally a lot of apartment complexes or units that were subsidized or previously used to be affordable, they have been flipped to market rate units and so on. So one side of it is just the supply problem. There has been a decline in affordable housing. The market rent overall has gone up, and so that's made the city overall less affordable to live in. So while one side of this issue is, like I said, the affordable housing supply, the other side is the fact that the wages have remained constant for more than 10 years. So the minimum wage in Tennessee is still $7.25.
Now, we got supply for houses that are $350,000 and up. We got supply for that.
Right. That's exactly right. Yes. So there are all of these new developments that, you know, if you're above a certain income level, sure, you can afford. But for a lot of the workforce that makes up the backbone of Nashville society and what makes Nashville the it city that it is, they are often left looking on the outside in and not being able to enjoy Nashville for what makes it the it city in the first place.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to worry about that it word, you know?
Right.
I mean, because it's it for some, and it's the other it for other people.
Right.
And because they're, people are going to continue to move here.
That's
not
exactly
like you're going to build a wall. It's not like that we're going to wall up Tennessee, Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope. so, and advocacy groups and organizations such as the one that is coordinating this event have been talking about issues like this for a long time. And what will Nashville Rising hope to accomplish?
So it's a 2.5-hour forum on Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. So it won't take up a lot of people's time.
Okay.
And the goal is to get the conversation started about wages, one of them, but also just the decency of work in the city. So while the wage that you earn is a large component of how fair and ethical your workplace is, another part of it is how you're treated at your workplace, how much dignity, respect, and so on are afforded to you at your workplace. So it's a conversation about your work experience in general and what that should look like and what Nashville culture, you know, should promote in the workplace.
Now, I know the advocates always come to things like this, but what about the people that need to come, that need to hear this?
Right. So there has been a lot of, you know, trying to get the word out to people who, such as people from the business community, that we would like to have as partners to help us create this shift in culture in Nashville.
What's been their response?
I don't know if there's been, from our end, We've been sending out a lot of messages. There are a lot of business owners in Nashville that do feel strongly about this. And so we do have partners that are looking forward to attending. But then we would just like to expand the reach of the business community that we have present, other people from, you know, various metro agencies, the Chamber of Commerce, and so on. We really, really want this to be a cross-sectional conversation across all of these different sectors that come together and have a conversation about what we want the workplace.
Well, it would seem to me like if they're not there, it's just the choir keeps singing,
right,
turning around and singing from the front row to the back row the same songs.
Yes.
Because that's in lies the problem in Nashville.
Yes.
You know, the people, the advocates, they know what's going on. They know what the problems are. But the very people who can affect the change, they don't show up. Mm-hmm.
So the thing that's a little bit different about this forum is that it isn't just a one-off, 2.5-hour forum. You come, mm-hmm. you take in some information, you go home, and maybe you forget about it the next day. The goal of this is to lay the foundation and to be a starting point. We already have a date in mind after this. It's April 25th, where we will invite everybody who is interested, who attended the forum and so on, to come back and meet with us again as a working group, and we will design a community-led covenant that ideally organizations will adopt, and that covenant will lay out what an ethical, fair, and decent workplace is. And the goal would be then to try to have as many organizations as possible adopt that covenant and say, hey, this is how we treat our employees, and this is why we deserve your business. So that explains further what I was saying about trying to shift the culture in the city overall. Mm-hmm. There's so many tourists that flock to the city every single day, mm-hmm. and so the idea there too would be, you know, all of these tourists that are coming in or all of these Nashville locals, they should want to take their business to organizations that treat their workers well and fairly and have transparent practices in terms of how well their workers are treated. So while this forum will be primarily informative, it's the starting point to bringing together community members to design this covenant, and then so it's a long-term project. A lot of work will go into first designing the covenant and then trying to get organizations to adopt it, but there is a tangible goal attached to this form.
Is there a time frame here? Because this sounds like a lot of buy-in.
Yes, definitely. The immediate next step is the meeting that's going to be right after the forum, which is going to be a working group. So we have the date for that, which is April 25th. We're going to be meeting at the Martha O'Brien Center. And so that's the immediate next step. And then, you know, depending on who's in the room, mm-hmm. who all wants to be a part of the process, we'll take it from there, and we'll let community members involved decide what next steps look like.
Now, what's the difference between this and NOAA and all the other groups that are doing the same thing? I mean, similar.
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like everybody's doing the same thing. I mean, you know, I'm not in the groups, but I've interviewed people in them.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
So with this group, this is actually a collaboration between all of these various community organizations and community advocacy groups, metro agencies that are coming together to put together this forum. So NOAA is a part of this, Metro Social Services, Metro Human Relations Commission, A Voice, it's all happening under A Voice for the Reduction of Poverty, that's the name of the coalition, but there's so many organizations that are part of this that have been sitting at the table for more than a year now. We've been meeting in a strategic way. This is how we're all going to pool our resources and time and work towards this goal together. It would be a lot more effective and it would be a lot quicker. So that's what we're going for with this forum. Under this coalition, we've brought together all of these individual advocates, all of these organizations that are as big as NOAA, that are, you know, also have some, you know, advocates by themselves that are coming together, and collectively we're working towards this goal.
Yeah. Well, I just hope you all get, you know, the job done. And, you know, I'm just wondering, I'm saying to myself now, what if, and I always have to do this, I know, Sharon Kay, I know, I understand, sister. But you do all this, and everybody that's coming here is millionaires, billionaires. They don't live in this community, and they really don't care. They're just here to make money, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. What, that's a lot of what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a committee or a group that will be handling that particular portion of Nashville? Because that's who's in charge, who's buying up everything, and who's making the decisions.
Right. And, I mean, the goal with this, too, again, would be to get those people in the room to try to get developers and have developers, have business owners hear from community members about what they want the city to be like and what they want the city to look like.
Well, I'd love to see these developers building these towers and things to me come to these meetings.
Hmm.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Could I dream one time? Of course. I guess they don't want to hear it. Well, give the audience the information of the date, time, location, etc. And it is free to attend, right?
It is free to attend. Breakfast and refreshments will be provided. Mm-hmm. And again, if you just Google Nashville Rising Work Wages in the Future of Nashville, we have a website as well as an Eventbrite page and a Facebook page. It's going to be on April 6th, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m.
Excellent. At the Avon Williams campus,
at TSU.
TSU,
yes.
Okay. All right. And the registration is free for you, so do it. It's Nashville-Rising.com.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Is there a phone number to call? Sometimes you just like to hear from a voice.
We do have a contact page on the website, which has an email address attached to it. But because there's so many different organizations that are forming this coalition, there's no one phone number.
Well, y'all work on that now.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I mean, really.
That's good feedback to have. Yeah. I will take that back.
Because sometimes websites and all that, let me just ask you a question, please.
Yeah.
May I?
Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, you know. It's just sometimes it's much, and you just want to know.
That's true. Okay, we will definitely work on that.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon, for having me.
How do you pronounce your last name again?
Imran.
Imran.
Yes.
Did I do it right?
Yes, you did right.
Well, you just keep me posted, and we'll be happy to get the updates to the community, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having
you
me.
You are welcome.
Thank you,
you
everyone,
are
for
welcome.
Listening.
Absolutely. Now, let's see. I just saw a helicopter do a flyby. I just glanced out the window and I said, is that Chuck?
That's a popo.
Oh, that's the people who are supposed to fly by, right? Okay, all right. Well, I was just saying, man, that was pretty timely. It was right before time for me to talk to you. I'm like, dude, I mean, you know. Anyway, I thought you was going to get me up to the neighborhood reporting or something. Anyway, Chuck, I do realize that Wednesdays, the highlight of your day is, of course, giving the 411 show listeners the traffic report, so I should not.
It is.
Yeah, I should.
It is.
I should
not. I got
not.
A special phone, you know, like the bat phone. Remember that? I've got a bat phone for this radio station only. So.
It's the jazz phone. I know. It's cool. it rings cool. Anyway, Chuck, how does it look on the way home this afternoon?
Thanks, Sharon. Good afternoon, everybody. We're looking live here at the traffic. It's heavy right on schedule 40 east and westbound here at Fessler, especially eastbound, trying to get out past the airport. There's just been a crash in Midtown. It's at West End at 19th, tying up that intersection, Megantic Pike at Lebanon Pike at Donaldson. You got a two-car collision waiting for you at that location. Zoo Road at Nolensville Pike on an accident. It's already very busy in that general area right there this time of the afternoon, trying to get past the zoo there on outbound Nolensville Pike. That one may even have some minor injuries. Traffic's really picked up now to the south, 65, as you slide back down into Brentwood, Franklin, and also 24 out towards Murfreesboro. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. We're calling all vendors for the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival on Saturday, June 29th. We're accepting applications right now on a first-come, first-served basis for food and non-food vendors with reasonable rates for early birds. The Fisk Food and Music Festival is the place to be in the good old summertime for outstanding music performances in a family-friendly atmosphere on the Grove. Free admission and free parking. Enjoy the Thomas Kane Band, trumpeter Ryan
Brian Montagno, all the way from L.A., saxophonist Donald Hayes, and headlining our annual Fisk Festival is number one recording artist Ben Tankard. For more information and details about the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival, visit our website at WFSKFM.org or give us a call at 615-329-8754. The Fisk Food and Music Festival, Saturday, June 29th. Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
I'm Julie Mixvick Peek, Tennessee Commissioner of Commerce and Insurance and the State Fire Marshal. As a mom and Tennessean, I'm concerned about distracted driving. Distracted driving causes injuries, raises our insurance rates, and costs lives. When it comes to distracted driving, I'm asking you to put it in park, Tennessee.
To learn more information, visit tn.gov/commerce. Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com. or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I'm just going to introduce my guest in 1 minute. But I do want to say that on Friday, we posted this on our Facebook. One of the students did for me that we're going to have Bonnie James is going to be on the air with us about 12 on Friday to talk about him coming to Nashville in May. And we're going to be giving away some pairs of tickets to our listeners because we got the best listeners. Yes. And you know. The Jazz House listeners, oh my gosh. Anyway, so Bonnie will be bringing the Honestly Tour Spring 2019 Without the Orchestra on Wednesday, May the 8th at 7:30 at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center. So that's Friday. Be sure to tune in to hear Bonnie, and win some tickets. And tonight I'm going to sneak some tickets on you. Because I can do it. We'll sneak a pair of tickets on y'all tonight on this show. So you can radio roulette if you want to. I gotcha. All right, now, our book today. And I sent a message to the publicist of this wonderful guest that I just made a mere mention of this book on Sunday, and I got a response from somebody on the phone. America's Unholy Ghost, The Racist Roots of Our Faith and Politics is today's book. And we're happy to have with us Joel Edward Goza. He has lived and worked in Houston's Fifth Ward for over a decade. Joe has served as a visiting scholar of race, religion, and politics at the University of St. Thomas and is a graduate of Wheaton College and Duke University. So, hey, Joe, how are you today?
Oh, I am really excited to be talking to you. I'll tell you that much I'm very thankful, for sure.
You start out on the right foot. I'm like, that works for me. You're doing okay today?
It's a beautiful day in Houston. I can't hear any choppers on this end, so I don't think they're after me today like they might be you, but... Yeah, I am doing great. Much better than I deserve. Well, thank you for having me today.
We are across the from a hospital, too, okay? Definitely. Now, Joel, you have quite a story and quite an interesting topic, and I know that this topic and the book are definitely going to have to be one that we'll have to reconvene the discussion because there's a lot here. And you're covering areas and touching areas that America is really, really having a tough time with. And I appreciate you for having the courage to take on this important topic.
Well, thank you so much. It was definitely a journey doing the writing of the book. And, I say near the close, I had loving parents, I had a good school, I had a church that loved me. And then when I went off to college, my world had to expand a little bit. And so I went to a school called Wheaton College. And it was from fundamentalism to what is referred to as evangelicalism. And really was able to study and to do some research that really started helping open my eyes to how, when I grew up, what we ended up doing is we put our culture and we put Christianity into the same blender, and we called that milkshake Christianity. And so it started kind of this process of where I had to discern, what did I believe as a Christian? What did I believe as a white Texan Republican? And really began opening me up to different ways of thinking. And what ended up happening to me is that I went from Wheaton to Duke University, that expanded my world a little bit more. But I was at Duke University. I was an undiagnosed diabetic. And during that time, God moved in some powerful ways, but ways that were really painful. And I ended up dropping out of school. And it was during that painful time of life that I ended up moving into Houston's inner city after having dropped out of school. And there in Houston's inner city, I began to learn more about the racism that is inherent in the ways that we think about politics and the ways that we think about religion.
Well, certainly it has throughout time been used as a weapon to keep people down and in submission and obedient. And scripture was certainly used for that purpose. When did you discover that, and were you shocked?
Well, I think that it was really late on, to be honest with you. I think when I moved into the inner city, what was clear to me was that everything that I had grown up believing were at best truths told on a slant, and at worst, all-out lies. And so the cultural common sense that I had developed didn't make any sense at all in the streets of Houston's Fifth Ward. And so you said, start thinking of your worldview kind of from the ground up and understanding where it was that the cultural common sense that I was raised with was intentionally designed to harmonize with the racist ways of our nation.
So was, I guess when you saw, and I'm assuming you were in your 40s, 30s?
Yeah, I am, and I'm just getting into my 30s. I am 39, but I'll be into my 40s pretty soon.
Okay, so your eyes are coming open to some stuff that so many people have endured for decades, and then you're Christian, and then it's like, do you want to just say, hold up? There's some stuff here that does not make any sense.
Absolutely, and you know, the faith that you hold so dear, and that has been so meaningful in your life, and that you believe has connected you to God, you see ways in which even that is used in racist ways in the community that you're living in, and you know, that's a different level of self-awareness that I really didn't want to develop, to be quite honest with you.
Now, your initial, well, I guess it's coming up next week, is your actual launch of your book on April 4th. What is, I know that's an important day for many in civil rights, but why did you select the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King to release your book?
Well, the reason that we selected that date, Pastor Cofield and I, is what we are hoping with the book is that it can empower the struggle of Dr. King to continue. And so when Dr. King looked at his ministry, he thought that some of the most important work lay beyond his lifetime. And one of the things that he had talked about in the struggle is how we needed to examine what he referred to as the ideational roots of race hate. Really understand where it was that our nation went astray on this issue. And by understanding that, hopefully begin designing new ways forward that isn't just about desegregation, but about actually realizing racial equality across economic and political lines.
Well, let me say this, Joel, because what I've discovered, and all the authors, the abundance of authors and books and et cetera on this show over the years, it is baked in the American cake. It didn't just pop out. I mean, this has been since the beginning of this country. So, I mean, you know. And then scripturally, even back further than that, to the beginning of time. So, you know, there's a lot to unpack. Is that what you do in the book?
That is what I seek to do, for sure. And so when we ask the question of why is it that neither American democracy or American Christianity has unwritten America's racist ways, I think it is because that American democracy and American Christianity were intentionally designed to harmonize with America's racist ways. And I try to show the philosophers that helped to imagine this racist imagination, to institutionalize it into our religious and political systems, and to ingrain it into America's soul. And so, and what I try to argue is that the American system is working perfectly well to do what it was designed to do, which was to bless the few at the cost of the many and to use racial distinctions in order to accomplish that work.
Yeah. Now, in the book, and I remind the audience, it is entitled America's Unholy Ghost. My Lord. The church should be reacting to that. The Unholy Ghost. What you talking about, Jack? America's Unholy Ghost, the Racist Roots of Faith and Politics. And now you discuss three distinct personalities and their significance to how these things became so ingrained in our nation. Let's start with the first one, and I'm going to try to get you to touch on the three of these people in this time I have with you, because there's a lot here, and I don't want to skip over anything that you may want the audience to know about. Let's start with Thomas, is it Hobbes?
Yes, ma'am, Thomas Hobbes. So Thomas Hobbes is the first philosopher that I deal with, and he's the father of modern political philosophy. And he is coming of age. He's growing up in the midst of religious wars. And so what he is seeking to do is to bring an end to religious wars. And what he essentially argues is that what we need to do to end these religious wars is, rather than leaning so heavily into our religious nature, we need to lean much more heavily into our rational nature.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting when he does that is he does that in such a way where when he talks about rational, he limits what rationality can look like to basically rich, white, European males.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He makes reason individualized. It's no longer about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It even becomes about what he refers to as self-preservation and securing ourselves in a dangerous world.
Mm-hmm.
And so after Hobbes writes, within 2 centuries, no longer will Christians kill Christians in Christianity, but what they will do is they will start killing other folks for different reasons.
Mm.
They will start calling certain people savages and saying that since they're savages, we can commit genocide and there's nothing we can do about it. Since they're savages, we can use them as slaves to make ourselves more wealthy and more secure into this world. And so he develops this type of racialized type of reasoning that justifies the colonial project, whether through chattel slavery of Africans or the genocide of Native Americans. And you don't kill in the name of Christ anymore, but Christians keep on killing for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some of that rhetoric almost reminds me of what you hear coming out of the White House, those asshole people. And the asshole. I mean, you know, everything is negative and derogatory. Now, we need to take a time out and take a break and get our updated traffic report. So when we come back from the break, I want to get you to give us information on John Locke and what he has done in terms of advancing racism. And if I want to invite the audience, I do want them to know that if you have a question or comment, you want to be in the discussion, you all know, call me. 615-329-8810 is the number to put your comment, put your 2 cents in at 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
A major wreck on 440 West at the I-40 split. Traffic is stopped. Only the far right and far left lanes are allowing passage, and that's only one car at a time, so expect some major delays. A wreck on Nolensville Pike at Zoo Road and on 19th Avenue North at West End Avenue. This traffic report is brought to you by AirForce.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from HomeFreeUSA.com. Nashvillehomes.org. If you're renting in Nashville, you can probably afford your own home. Stop making your landlord rich. Discover easy ways to move from renting to home ownership. Join Home Free USA, Fisk University, Bank of America, SWBC Mortgage, and Synovius Mortgage Home Buyer Fair on Saturday, April 6th from 10 a.m. to noon in the Appleton Room, Jubilee Hall. Experienced professionals will show you where to find out and how to qualify for your down payment and closing cost assistance. Gifts to the first 10 to arrive, refreshments and free parking. Seats are filling up fast. Register before it's too late. Visit homefreeusa.org/CFA. That's homefreeusa.org/CFA. And I'll see you Saturday, April 6th at the Fisk University campus, Jubilee Hall, for the Home Free USA Center for Financial Advancement Home Buyer Fair.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Tennessee Army National Guard. Aired by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for WFSK comes from the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center, presenting Boney James Honestly Tour Spring 2019 on Wednesday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. Saxophonist Boney James returns for another night of smooth and sultry jazz, showcasing music from his latest album, Honestly, along with the selections from his 25-year career, influenced by funk, classic soul, and contemporary jazz. James is a magnetic performer with a sound that crosses genres and generations. Boney James at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center, Wednesday evening, May 8th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and details, visit Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, don't forget, I want to give away some Boney James tickets tonight just because, okay, before I leave the show goes done at 6. Now, today's book, America's Unholy Ghost, The Racist Roots of Faith and Politics, and I am enjoying this conversation today with Joel Goza. He's a preacher, activist, and writer. And Joel was deep, he's in his home in Houston. Did you say it was nice today there too, right?
It is beautiful today. Yeah. It is absolutely beautiful, yeah. Which is rare.
You guys have been getting hammered lately with all kinds of...
Mercy.
You know, from floods to fires and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyway, now, Joel, you were talking about... You have these three philosophers that you write about them and their work in the book. And you say they help to ingrain racist ideologies into American people. You gave us an overview of Thomas Hobbes and imagining a rational and racist world order. We want to move now to John Locke.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, talk about John.
Well, one of the first steps that Locke will do is he wants to rethink everything from the ground up, and he wants to start thinking a lot simply. But one of the first questions that Locke will actually ask is, what is a man?
Mm-hmm.
And Locke's answer to that is that we don't really know, which is really an interesting move from Locke. And in fact, what he says is that the truth is that in Africa, you have women having sex with baboons.
Mm.
And what should we do with them? Are those humans? And what he uses as his cornerstone argument is that not everything that looks like gold is gold.
Mm.
And so the question becomes, in Locke's mind, is, do Africans meet the gold standard for humanity? And he leaves that question in his work kind of hanging, but it is a question through which he's able to justify slavery, because we quite know if these people who look like humans really are human. And then he gets in, he begins starting from that question. He also begins in his later works to rewrite how we think about the natures of politics and how we think about the nature of religion. And he does it very simply. What he says is that the nature of politics is simply the preservation of property. And that the nature of religion is simply the salvation of souls. So when it comes to politics, who gets to play? Only those with a lot of property.
No kidding. He who's got the most gold makes the rules.
Make the rules. When we look at the founding of our nation, for instance, it's not surprising that one of the richest slave owners becomes our first president, that it's a unanimous vote, that almost nobody gets to participate in it. But what Locke is able to do by making preservation of property the center point for his politics is able to harmonize all the interests of people who have a lot of property. So that Lockbird is, do they serve the government? The government serves them.
Joe, let's go to the phone and see what's on the minds of our people. If you want to be in the discussion, you all know what to do. Hit us on 615-329-8810. Hello, David. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Sharon. Hello, Mr. Goza.
Hey.
I'm enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
I love the title of the book, and I look forward to getting my hands on it. And I just had a quick question and a comment. My question is, in your research, I know you mentioned these three philosophers, and as you were speaking about Locke, did you happen to intersect anything doing with Francis Galton and the American Eugenics Society?
Yes, absolutely. And so what ends up happening, you know, one of the things that I had mentioned is how reason begins working in racial ways. And what you will see in that is that when you look at Darwinian evolution, for instance, all of that theory was based off of the theory of white superiority and attempting to prove white superiority. And Francis Galton becomes in that line of people following in Darwin's footsteps that attempt to scientifically prove that white European males are the superior race. And so when you look at Darwin's first title, it is The Origins of Species and the Struggle for the Favored Race. The title will later be reduced to just Origins of Species. But the whole scientific community was addicted to racist ideas. And one of the works that really helps trace it out is a book by Abram X. Kendi called Stamped from the Beginning. And the scientific imagination was thoroughly, and still is, thoroughly formed by the type of racist ideas and the type of understandings of humanity that form in the periods that I write about. And Francis Galton and I do write about briefly in the book.
Do you? Okay.
Good. That's wonderful. I really look forward to getting my hands on the book. It sounds like you've done some really wonderful study and investigation. So, yes, it's I'm losing for my word. Getting old is not for sissies.
Very
provocative. That's the word I was looking for, provocative. Go ahead, Sharon. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying it's very enlightening because, you know, there are still some people who try to act like we're making all this up, you know.
Right. No, and it all ties wonderfully together. For me, looking at how the American Eugenics Society came out in the 1880s after shortly after the abolishment of slavery. And my thing is, you freed these people, but you didn't make them economically viable to contend on an equal basis. So now the people that would bear the burden to bring that equity in are your landowners, are your former slave owners, or your people that have these up-and-coming from the north, bringing this all this new technology for that day down there.
Yes.
So that never takes place, and you have a class of people who have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yes.
While fighting through racist mindsets. And then you have the American Eugenics Society spewing out their stuff in the 1920s with Margaret Sanger, and then they start talking about population control.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I will say this, and Joel, I want your comment on it as well. You know, that's the formula that is prevalent right now, because some of the top issues that this nation is grappling with is the same stuff that these philosophers and these designers of racist attitudes are doing. I mean, to me, it hasn't changed. It just is a different year, because we still see the design the same, even in this community. Affordable housing is one of the top issues in across the country. You know,
redlining.
I mean, just the whole gamut of the way the setup is. This stuff is deep.
And you know, that's exactly what Attorney General Jeff Sessions was using when they were enforcing that policy of stopping people at the border and trying to get more white Europeans into the nation. And that's exactly what Trump was talking about SO countries. Yes. And why can't we get more people from some of these other... That's exactly what he was referring to.
Well, that's the whole
eugenics.
That's the playbook.
Eugenics. That's exactly what he was talking about. And that's nothing new, because I can't think of which president it was that used that formula who was quoted in saying, we're going to keep... power in the hands of these good white genes. I just can't think of the name of that president.
That was during Jim Crow and stuff. Anyway, David, do you think that I should have Joel come back again?
I would absolutely love to.
See, Joel.
Thank you, sir, for your research and your book, and thank you, Sharon, for hosting such a wonderful show.
Absolutely.
And I will take my comments off the air.
All right, I appreciate you so much for listening.
Thank you for your encouragement. Yes, sir.
Well,
have a blessed day.
You know, it is, and I will say, when those kind of encouraging words. You know, I have to cut through a lot of bull hockey. Y'all know bull. In order to, on the air, to fight for people to listen, to be informed and educated, because they would just as soon go down a rabbit hole, you know, and not really see how things are around them. So, David, thank you for recognizing that these issues are very relevant and very important, and we look forward to him continuing to tune in. So Joel, there you go. You're on the list.
Well, thank you, Ron. I am looking forward to future conversation, for sure.
Well, my audience is the best, and you know I'm straight biased, okay?
It's all right being biased. We got good folks to be biased towards.
Yes. Now we'll have plenty more for you the next time.
Because
I will say by that time my book will have arrived, and I haven't been able to dig down deep and pull out. So I'll wait until we'll get it, and then we'll reschedule you. And also, one quick thing before we go: what on the cover of your book? Where is that? Is that the Tiki Torch March in Virginia?
Yes, that's Charlottesville. That is. And so I had found a freelance journalist that had that photo, and I just couldn't imagine a better photo to encapsulate what I was trying to talk about.
No question.
I was thankful for his work, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's been the quick reaction? You know, it's coming out on the 4th, the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, and what are people saying to you about that?
Well, it kind of splits in that a lot of my African American friends have been really excited, and they kind of understand intuitively what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And you know, for a lot of my white Christian brothers and sisters, it's been a little bit more challenging, because it's really referring them, forcing them to rethink some things that they had grown up with. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is what I was hoping that the work would do, to be able to connect some dots for people who are who understand racial thinking, but perhaps haven't connected the puzzle pieces to their philosophic roots and how this stuff really began. And then for others to be able to begin the journey to rethink the worldview that has created some racial, that has created America's racial nightmares.
Well, and, you know, for mainstream America has been comfortable for hundreds of years. And to have a couple of moments of discomfort.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And what I really hoped for in the book is that if I could show how the common sense that was needed to form slavery is still the common sense that drives today, then those can be some interesting conversations.
Most definitely. Well, I'll be getting an update on that next time we have you on, because I know as you head toward April 4th, you're requests for interviews are going to increase, and I'll be in touch, and I think we got your information. So Joel, thank you so very much, and hope that you have where's the book available?
So the book is available on Amazon right now. If you go out and if you leave a review, that would really help. And it's going to be getting to you quick because it's just about to release.
Excellent.
So that would be wonderful. And I am hoping that we talk soon.
We will.
For sure.
No, we will. You know, I do what I say I'm going to do, for real. Thank you so much, Joel Goza. He is author of the new book, America's Unholy Ghost, The Racist Roots of Faith and Politics. And let's thank you, Joel. Have a good rest of the day. And we're going to get our news coming up, and then we'll be back on the other side. And don't forget, I'm going to slide some Boney James tickets in there for you. He's coming to the Scrimmerhorn. But you change the dial, you won't be going. You have to buy your own. Anyway, let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.